welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and want to improve your game, this podcast is for you. Whether it's technique, strategy, equipment, or the mental game, tennis professional Ian Westerman is here to make you a better player. And now, here's Ian.
Hi, and welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast, your place for free, expert tennis instruction that can truly help you improve your game. Today on the podcast, we're going to discuss several different topics, and all of them coming from one reader and listener of the podcast. He asked a question that really was very multifaceted, and we're going to go over a bunch of different stuff, including having a bad day. When you have a bad day in tennis, obviously it can be frustrating. We're going to talk about how to deal with that. And talk about if it's, is it okay to have a bad day? Or should you be able to figure out what your problems are on the spot? We're also going to talk about working on what you did do poorly when you have a bad day. How do you recover from that and learn from it and improve your game after having a bad day on the court, whether it's in practice play or in match play or anything? We're also going to talk about choosing a playing style, whether it be all courts or ground stroker or serve and volley. The person who asked the question kind of grouped it together between power and finesse. And we're going to talk about how you should choose your style of play. And if we have time after those three topics, which I'm skeptical of, but if we do have time, I'm also going to discuss what grip to wait in your doubles play. If you should wait with a forehand or a backhand grip when you're back on the baseline. So those are our topics for today, and I'm looking forward to getting into it. If my voice sounds a little off today, it is. I think it's from a flu shot that I had a couple of days ago, and my voice is just, I've kind of been a little bit under the weather since then, but the show must go on. So let's go ahead and get into our topics for today. Sit back, relax, and get ready for some great tennis instruction.
And now it's time for Essential Tennis Q&A.
All right, so let's get going today on podcast number 40. Our questions today, it really was brought to me as one question, but I'm going to break it up into a couple different parts. And it comes from Maurice. He's a relatively new user on the Essential Tennis forums. In fact, he is our newest one, I believe. He was the last one to sign up on the forums, and he's really been a great contributor so far. Maurice, thanks so much for all the time you've been spending there and talking with other users and giving your inputs. Always great to have readers there on the forums who like to participate. And by the way, guys, if you listen to this podcast on a regular basis and you are not signed up at the forums, then shame on you. You need to get signed up on the forums. The forums are increasingly becoming a better and better place and just a wonderful community of tennis players that are enthusiastic. They love the sport. And it's becoming a great place of kind of encouragement. People are going to the forums and posting when they have problems, issues with their game, or when they have a great match and a breakthrough. And people offer their help. I post quite a bit and answer questions as well. And it's just it's becoming more and more of a good, tight kind of community feel. If you haven't signed up there yet, go do it. You won't regret it. It's just becoming a cooler and cooler place to hang out online over at the forums. I'm really happy about how it's going. Now, let's get down to business here. Maurice, he lives in Florida, and here's his question that he posted on the forums. He says, "Hello, my problem is simple." And that's, to me, kind of a funny start there, Maurice. Very few problems come down to being simple things in tennis, but let's give them the benefit of the doubt and keep going. One or two parts of my game goes missing in action during a match. I generally serve well throughout the match, and it's usually either my forehand, backhand, or net play that just goes away. I was wondering what I could do to not let this happen. I have listened to the podcast and know to come in and play with what you have that day. That's something we've discussed in the past, not trying to kind of improve and fix your game as you play a match is what he's referring to. And next he says, I'm a strong 4.5 player and can I think I could be a 5.5 plus if I can get it all together at the same time. I recently changed my mentality from being a power player to being a finesse player. Tennis is my third sport that I have competitively been a part of. In basketball and football, I was never a power player. I have always been a finesse player. I think this is helping me piece it together a bit, and I was wondering if there was anything, whether it be training mentally or physically, to help me piece my game together. Thanks for your time and efforts. All right, Maurice. Well, good question. And whether you knew it or not, you really bring up several different topics here all at once. And it isn't simple per se. There could be a simplistic answer to each of these topics we're going to discuss. But the actual improving of and bringing all this together at once is not simple at all. And this is part of why there are very few players at the level that you're trying to achieve at a 5.5 plus level. And by the way, 6.0, technically, by the book, means that you are creating most of your income from competing at tennis. So just to give you a by-the-book definition of what 6.0 is, that means you're making your money playing tennis, not teaching, which is what I do. I consider myself a 5.0 player. Back in the day when I competed and played every day of the week, it's possible I was up as high as 5.5 on a good day, but I consider myself a 5.0 player, which is still quite respectable. 6.0 is world class, basically. Now, I'm not doubting your skills, your talents whatsoever. And if you guys go to the forums and look at under the podcast forum, this topic is Putting It All Together by Maurice. That's the subject. And we actually discussed that back and forth for a little while. But anyway, let's go ahead and get to my answers here, having to do with your question. First of all, we're going to talk about having a bad day on the courts. And, you know, listen, this is something that all of us deal with, some of us more than others. And I think that kind of has to do with your mindset and your mentality. And it's something that I struggled a great deal with, and I've talked about this a couple different times on the podcast. I have struggled with having poor days, and I have a hard time accepting that everything won't be perfect on the tennis court when I go out and play. So let's talk about that first, having a bad day on the courts. Being a good tennis player encompasses a very wide range of skills and abilities, and Maurice, being a 4.5 player, you're already above average, or you're already a pretty solid player, and so kudos to you on that. And it takes a lot of different types of skills, physical skills and athletic skills and talent, to become that good of a player already, just where you are currently. And to have one or more of those skills not fully show up to play on any one given day is completely normal. You need to understand that first, Maurice. There's so many different parts of the game, the footwork, the judging the ball and reading your opponent, how they're swinging at the ball. You know, you've got all the different individual technical skills of actually your strokes, your forehand, your backhand, slice, topspin, drive, approach shots, volleys, forehand and backhand, overhead, serve. You have all these different aspects, and you're trying to pull them all together, which is exactly what your title was, pulling it all together. And when you just take a step back and look at all the different things you're trying to accomplish at once, all within the same, you know, hour and a half or 2 hour period. To have a couple of those things not be living up to their potential, that's perfectly normal. And in fact, assume that's going to happen, that one or two things are just not quite going to live up to what you think they should in any given day. It's just simply too hard to ask everything to operate to its full potential all the time. It just won't happen. And you even see this in the pros constantly. And certainly the pros have good days probably more often than we do, because it's what they dedicate their life to. And it's their job to be extremely good at tennis, and that's all they focus on. So they have more days where everything kind of clicks than we do. They certainly have more days like that than your average player, and even your upper-level player, like Maurice or myself, who's a higher level and has more skill, we just are not going to perform like they do. And even they have plenty of bad days where a certain stroke just doesn't show up, and it's just not that great. Now, I just a quick personal story here. I used to have debates with one of my doubles partners in college about this all the time, because he and I were very different personalities. He was very different personalities on court, I should say. He was much more reserved and calm and relaxed, and I was typically much more intense. And it's not that he wasn't competitive, but I kind of wore my heart on my sleeve a little more, and I was much harder on myself. If I was not hitting a certain shot well that day, I would really let it bother me quite a bit. And oftentimes I would have practices where I would be in a pretty negative mood for a lot of the practice. And he would say to me, "Don't worry about it. You're just having a bad day." And that bothered the heck out of me. I thought that was a bunch of crap. Cause I would think, "Wow, what do you mean having a bad day?" I thought that I was good enough that I should be able to control what was happening in my own game. And so, you know, how come I'm not able to diagnose and fix whatever's going wrong? If it's my forehand return of serve, if for whatever reason I'm just not making it that day, maybe I'm making one out of four, where on a good day I really wouldn't miss it at all, or whatever it is. I thought that I was a good enough player, and certainly I was a good player. You know, I wasn't bad at tennis by any means, but I thought, listen, I'm good enough that I should be able to diagnose, figure out the technical reason why I'm missing this particular shot today, and I should be able to fix it right now and make it better. There's no reason why I shouldn't be able to do that. And he and I would go back and forth on this, and he would maintain that, no, sometimes you just have a bad day, and that's it. You don't really know why. There's just too many things going on at once, and it's too complicated. You can't control everything at the same time. Sometimes some things are just going to be off. And he and I probably took up whole practices, 2 hour practices or 3 hour practices, discussing this, going back and forth, you know, throughout the entire practice. And we really debated it quite a bit, actually. And I have to admit that after teaching several years since then, and after taking a step back from my own game and not being such an intense competitor anymore as I used to be, I have to admit that I agree with him now. I do. And the word of this will probably get back to him somehow. So yes, Mark, you were right. Yes, you're right. I agree with him now. I think it's important to give yourself the freedom to mess up in tennis. Don't take it too hard or too personally. You can't always control everything that's going on, every little element of your game. Just be sure to be aware of what's happening. It is important that when you are having an off day, take note of what exactly is happening. Take a mental note or even physical notes if you could. Get a notebook and keep notes of what's giving you problems on that specific day, so that when you go back to practice again, you can work on that specifically and you can improve that part of your game. And we're going to actually talk about that next. But first off, Maurice, kind of a long dialogue there, but this is an important part of mental tennis here. Listen, guys, if you hold yourself to a very high standard and you don't meet it, if you take that personally and you allow it to put you in a negative mood, that's very dangerous. You can end up being unhappy with yourself a great deal of the time if you don't give yourself the freedom to have a bad day and to screw up. It's perfectly normal and really healthy. You should be screwing up. If you're not screwing up, you're not challenging yourself enough. So don't worry about it. If you have a bad day and one or two or maybe even three specific skills just aren't working that day, just pay close attention to what exactly is happening. And the next time you go out and practice, you'll have something specific and good to work on, and you can make good use of your time. All right, that's our first topic, having a bad day. It's okay, guys. It really is. Don't worry about it. We're going to take a very quick break here, and we'll be back in just about a minute talking about working on those things when you do have a bad day. How do you come and bounce back and improve on what you were having problems with? So we'll be right back to talk about this after this quick break.
The Essential Tennis Podcast is brought to you by
Bridgewater Medical Group. Is a multi-specialty medical group located in Bridgewater, New Jersey, and is your home for primary care, gastroenterology, sports medicine, and general internal medicine. They offer a broad array of on-site, state-of-the-art services to make your healthcare experience more pleasurable. Scheduled appointments are preferred, but physician assistants are available for walk-in care. For more information, call Bridgewater Medical Group at 908-722-0808.
For more information on sponsors of the Essential Tennis Podcast or to become a sponsor, visit www.essentialtennis.com.
All right, let's keep going on Maurice's question here. Maurice, as you can see, you've opened up a big bottle of worms here, or is it a can of worms? I guess it's probably can of worms. Bottle, yeah, that doesn't work. You've opened up a big can of worms here, Maurice, with your question, and that's great. We've got a lot of good stuff to discuss here. Now we're going to talk about working on it later. So you've had a bad day, and you've made notes, either mental or physical ones, on exactly what's been going on. And make sure, guys, that you write down specific things. When you are having a poor day, whether it's in a match or in a practice, make sure that you make specific notes on what's going wrong so that when you go to practice the next time, you will have a good list of things to work on. And this is where people break down. This is where your average recreational player gets stuck in the same level for their entire life, is because of things like this. They don't take it seriously enough to pay close attention to their play and then go out and practice what's actually wrong. In fact, they'll go out and actually practice what they're most comfortable with over and over and over, and actually consciously avoid what makes them uncomfortable. And that's what's going to keep you guys in the same level for years and years. Don't do that. Make notes of what makes you most uncomfortable on the court and what you're the worst at. Worst is a strong word, but let's not beat around the bush. Make a list of what you're worst at and get out and practice it if you're serious about improving your game. So let's talk about working on it later. And these are, you know, pretty, I guess, common sense, but very practical ways here to then improve on what you didn't do well on the last time you played. When you work on it later, repetition is king. You need to go out and then repeat whatever you did poorly. You have to take whatever failed you and then just drill the crap out of it, just over and over and over until you feel comfortable with it and you feel mentally confident that, okay, now, you know, whenever you leave the court after practicing that specific skill, you can say to yourself, all right, I know that now I am better at doing that than I was before I walked on the court an hour ago. let's say, for example, Maurice, that you're missing your forehand volley. You mentioned that sometimes your volleys will just kind of leave you in the middle of a match. Let's say it was your forehand volley you just were not making. And every time you got a forehand volley in your last match, in the back of your mind, you just thought, oh, crap, here comes another forehand volley. And you were just missing them over and over. Get a ball machine or a friend that can feed to you and make 50 forehand volleys past the service line and to the deuce corner of the court. Just stand halfway between the service line and the net. Have somebody feed to you forehand volleys and pick a specific target, like what I just suggested. Make sure it's a nice, firm, deep volley past the service line is your target, and just to the deuce half of the court past the service line. After you've made 50 there, then make 50 to the ad side corner. That should take you quite a while. Not that your volleys aren't good, but that's a very, relatively speaking, specific target. It should take you a little while to complete that. After you've done that, then put it in along with an approach shot. Hit an approach shot and then a forehand volley back to back, making both shots together. And do that 50 times to a specific target once again. Maybe hit the hit a backhand approach shot down the line, and then have your friend feed you that forehand volley and hit that straight ahead. So your friend will be feeding cross court after you've hit your backhand approach shot down the line. Your friend will hit from the deuce side cross court over to your forehand volley, and then you will put it away straight ahead to the ad side of the court over on the other side of the net, and do that 50 times. And just get repetition like that with a specific focus and a specific target. By doing this, you will reinforce good habits, assuming that you're making the shots and you're not missing most of them. Make sure that you stay focused as you do this. You stay on task, keep your concentration, and pay close attention to what's going on. If you're missing 5, 6, 7 volleys in a row, and it's to the same spot, let's say you missed 5 in a row deep, well, you need to stop for a second and figure out what technical reason is causing that, make the adjustment, and then keep going again so that you start making as many as possible. By doing this, you will build confidence in your game. Whatever part of your game you did poorly in last time, if you can get out and drill it and get in as much repetition as possible doing it correctly, you will not only reinforce your muscle memory so that you're more likely to make it next time, but you will build mental confidence as well. You asked for mental and also physical tips on how to avoid this. This is how you do it. You go out and you drill and you repeat over and over. And after you've done this, the next time you play a match, you'll have the support of all those times you made that specific shot, and you'll be more successful. You'll be more mentally and physically confident because of all the repetition that you forced yourself to do last time. If you actually go out and do something exactly like what I just suggested, making 50 volleys to the deuce corner, 50 to the ad corner, and then 50 times with an approach and then that volley, something like that should probably take you, a 4.5 player. Something like that should probably take you 20 minutes or half an hour. And that's a good chunk of a practice session. Somebody who's a 3.0 player, that'll probably take an hour to do. And that's a good use of your time to practice something specific like that and just really drill it and become better at it. This is how you become better players. All right, let's get to the last part of Maurice's question. And looking at the clock here, I can see that we're not going to get to any other topics today, which is fine. These are all good topics, I think. I've enjoyed talking about them. Maurice didn't really ask for my advice specifically on changing his kind of style of play, but I'm going to give my thoughts anyway because it's my show. So here's my input, Maurice, on changing from a power player to a finesse player, which is how you phrased it. And listen, it's important to know what your tendencies are and what your general skills are. Certainly, everybody has general, their body is going to lend itself specifically towards a certain type of play most easily. And Maurice, it's good that you made the realization that you're probably more naturally more of a touch player. And so that's important. But we're going to discuss a couple other things here quickly as well. My question to you is, why choose? Why do you have to choose between power and finesse? Why does it have to be just one or the other? Back in the day in tennis, tennis was all about touch and control. Back when tennis started and all the way up through the 70s, it was all about controlling the ball, and touch was definitely big. You had to be able to have good touch and just keep control of the ball. In the late 80s and through the 90s, it became all about power and having big finishing shots and being able to just finish the point immediately, rather than trying to kind of work the point back and forth, side to side, and controlling the ball smoothly and kind of outplaying and outthinking your opponent. It started to become more and more about power. Whether that's good or bad, we could discuss for a long time, and we won't do that now. But that's just the reality of the way that tennis has evolved. Currently, several players are emerging that actually do both very well. And this is something that has actually excited me quite a bit about watching tennis in the last year. And the three players that came to mind for me right away that do this are Djokovic, Andy Murray, and also Joe Wilfried Tsonga. The three of them certainly are able to create big amounts of power and can finish points at the drop of a hat, or certainly can try to, and they have the ability whenever they want to hit a powerful shot. But on the other hand, all three of them also mix in a lot of like drop shots. They're all good volleyers. They're comfortable coming forwards to the net and being able to hit soft, or mixing in a drop shot or a lob as well. They do both well. They can hit powerful shots, and they're good at disguising touch shots and just hitting touch shots in general. I enjoy watching these types of players a great deal because they mix up their play so well. And I think it's good for the game to see players that are not so one-dimensional as they were back in the, late 90s and early 2000s, 2000 through probably 2003 or 2004. It was just all about power and hitting the ball hard. Not everybody, certainly. You know, there's always been players that mix their game up and have a good all-around game as well. But I'm speaking in generalities here. Now, Maurice, if you want to be a legitimate 5.5 player, it's essential that you're good at every aspect of tennis. Not necessarily amazing and world class at every single stroke, but you got to be good at everything. There are no 5.5 players that are only power players or only finesse players, and they have no skills on the other side of the spectrum. Not saying that, you know, you're being one-dimensional in how you're approaching it necessarily, but I want to make sure that you're not. I want to make sure that you don't just focus on one thing. Players at a 5.0 or a 5.5 level are able to do everything well. Certainly, they often have a certain attribute that's their specialty, and that's what they do best and do most often to win points. And for you, that might be your touch. It might be your hands. However, if you're one-dimensional, smart players at that level are going to figure it out. They're going to figure out how to exploit what you haven't developed and what you're not good at. And if it's a wide range in skill between being able to hit the ball strongly from the baseline and being able to hit a drop volley, they're going to figure out how to exploit that, because players at that level are very good. I can tell you that for sure from personal experience. By making a conscious big swing from a power player to finesse player, I'm concerned that you may stop developing parts of your game that are important. And so I just want to, just cover that briefly and make sure that you're not going to stop working on being able to hit powerful shots. And it's not necessarily, it's not the case that I thought you were going to do that. I'm not accusing you of being one-dimensional by any means, because I saw from a couple of your posts you're able to hit big serves, and I'm sure your ground strokes are solid as well. But I would just be careful in titling yourself or characterizing yourself as a finesse player and not really rounding out the rest of your game as well as possible. I want you to be a well-rounded player and be good at as many things as possible so that when you go out and play a match, you're able to bring up lots of different skills so that, in specific cases against specific opponents, you're going to have to be able to do many different types of things at a 5-0 level. So I want you to be a solid all-around player. All right, Maurice, thanks so much for your question. And we ended up using a whole podcast on that simple question that you called it. Kudos to you for continuing to want to improve your game. I love your passion for the game, and it's been great having you around the forums. And hopefully this podcast is going to serve as a good help to you. And I look forward to hearing back from you, your input. Let me know what you think about my thoughts. And if I can help you at all in any other way in the future, don't hesitate to let me know. All right, that brings the Essential Tennis Podcast episode number 40 to a close. I guess if the podcast were a person, it would now be over the hill, which I know is definitely not the case for the podcast. We're just getting started here, just starting to scratch the surface. And speaking of which, listen, if you guys enjoy the podcast, if it has helped you, do me a favor, tell your friends about it, your practice partners, anybody that you know who's also enthusiastic about tennis and loves the game. I'm doing my best to continue to try to build the website and the podcast as much as possible. And I can't do it without you guys, without the support of listeners and everybody else. I couldn't do it. So thank you guys so much for everything you've done so far. And I hope we continue to grow together. So with that, have a great week, everybody. Take care and good luck with your tennis.